Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, back in the studio live after a few days of best ofs. And, boy, there's so much to talk about. All kinds of national sports going on. We have some stuff happening in the local sports front as well. So let's dive right into it. First off and foremost, Game 1 of the World Series tonight. It's a big deal. We've talked a lot of baseball over the last little while. Now we're gearing up for Game 1 of the World Series. John Lester going up against Corey Kluber tonight, 6 p.m. start time. The Indians actually have home field advantage, despite the fact that the Cubs won, 103 games, because the AL won the All-Star game. So Game 1 at Cleveland tonight, 6 p.m. start time. And we'll talk more baseball a little bit later on in the show. But yes, it's actually happening, the Cubs and the Indians. Stories are just running rampant, right? All the jokes on social media, the Indians and the Cubs, two teams with hardcore fan bases, but traditionally, they're just not very good. Here's something that's weird with the World Series. The number 108 keeps popping up. Inside Edition ran this article today. It's been 108 years since the Cubs won their last World Series. And no, Cub fans, I'm not buying that you've waited 108 years. Because I've never met a Cubs fan that's 108 years old. It's been a long time, though. I'll give you that one. The team is officially 108 outs away from their first World Series. 27 outs per game. Four games are needed to win the series. As it stands right now, 108 outs away. The tower that broadcasts Cubs games stands at 108 stories tall. Isn't that weird? Baseballs have 108 stitches. And the ones used in games were originally manufactured by the Spalding Company, whose office was originally located at 108 West Madison Avenue in Chicago. Wrigley Field, the legendary home of the Cubs, was built back in 1914. It was given the building code number 108. Yeah, that's a little strange. I'm definitely not a superstitious person, but that doesn't hurt if you're 50-50, right? If you don't know who to pick, Cubs or Indians, those occurrences doesn't hurt to go with the Cubs. We'll talk more Major League Baseball coming up in just a minute. Also tonight, opening night of the NBA. It's back. In fact, right here on KOAL, the Utah Jazz will play host to the Portland Trail Blazers. Start time of that game is set for 8 p.m. David Locke, Ron Boone. They'll bring you the play-by-play call right here on KOAL. So Utah Jazz basketball, it's officially back. And I'll tell you, we'll go over this in depth a little bit later on in the show. I'm extremely high on the Utah Jazz this year. Injuries, of course, have got to be minimal, but this is the deepest Utah Jazz team that we have seen in quite some time. I think this Jazz team can compete for home court in the opening round. I think they could be a top four team of the Western Conference, no doubt. And in fact, I set a great season at 50 wins for this team. I think they can get there. I think they go 48-50. They go up against a team tonight that I also think is a playoff squad in the Western Conference in Portland. Obviously, they're a playoff squad. So it's a great gauge for the Jazz. You got to go on the road to the Moda Center right off of the bat. I like this game tonight. Definitely tune in for that. Jazz in Portland tonight, 8 p.m. start time. We have two other games that will be part of the national broadcast doubleheader action. The Knicks taking on the Cavs. Now, the big story tonight is going to be LeBron James finally getting his banner moment for Cleveland. Yada, yada, yada. You know how I feel about LeBron James. Yeah, I tip my hat to the guy. He was outstanding last year, and he's the best player in the world. He got Cleveland their championship just like he promised. But to me in this game tonight, I'm really curious to see the New York Knicks. I don't see any way Cleveland does not go back to the NBA Finals. I think they win the Eastern Conference this year. But I want to find out which team can push them. That's the thing I'm really looking for. So tonight, you got a brand new look for this Knicks squad. In the backcourt, Courtney Lee, Derrick Rose. Carmelo Anthony, Porzingis coming off a brilliant rookie year, and you got Joakim Noah in the middle. I think Phil Jackson is finally putting a stamp on this Knicks squad. He took a couple of shots in the dark. Let's see how it pans out. Brandon Jennings is going to be backing up Derrick Rose. It's a completely new look. Can the Knicks get to the postseason? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say this is a playoff team. The Knicks are one of the top eight squads in the Eastern Conference. Will they push Cleveland? No, they're not going to push Cleveland. They have a chance to get a win tonight just because emotions are always high during the banner ceremonies. You got a lot of excitement for this Knicks team. They got Jeff Hornacek, brand new head coach. This is a game that I could see the Knicks winning. I don't think they will. But ultimately, I mean, the Cavs are the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference. Now, similar in the West, I think the only team that can compete with Golden State is San Antonio, and we get that game tonight, 8:30 p.m. start time. Kevin Durant, yep, he's the new shiny toy for Steve Kerr and company, and he'll be taking the floor tonight. We'll talk NBA basketball today and tomorrow on the show. There's lots of it to get into, so that's coming up. Also, we got to mention the NFL. Boy, it's one of those days where 1 hour is just simply not enough. We'll talk a little NFL. Teams are starting to rise to the top, and the teams that maybe were flukish during the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, they're starting to settle just a little bit. Last night, the Denver Broncos taking care of business as Brock Osweiler and the Houston Texans came in and really had no answer for anything. I mean, the Broncos really made Houston not even one-dimensional, no-dimensional offensively. It was a bad game for Brock Osweiler. That's a $72 million man. Stakes were high for him. He had a chance to go back home and show the Broncos what they were missing out on. Yeah, he didn't do that. 22 of 41, 131 yards. I was having a conversation about Brock Osweiler with someone earlier this morning. I think Brock's going to be an adequate quarterback. I think he's one of those guys that's top 15 or 13, somewhere around that area, once he establishes himself in the league as a 2 or 3 year starter. I think he's an average quarterback. He'll be about in the middle of the pack when you statistically stack up all 32 quarterbacks, all 32 starting quarterbacks. I think he gets to that point. I'll tell you what worries me about Brock Osweiler right now. He has weapons. He's got DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller on the outside. That's pretty good. He's got Ryan Griffin. It's pretty good. He's got Jaylen Strong and Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue. That's not too shabby. I think Brock Osweiler has the options. He's got weapons. He fumbled 3 times last night. Didn't throw a pick, but he had a hard time hanging on to the football. Meanwhile, the Broncos, they're at 5-2 now, and they get it done with C.J. Anderson on the ground. He runs for 107 yards and a score. Devontae Booker scores his first touchdown as well. Utah Ute fans smiling about that. And the Utes are definitely smiling in the latest AP poll. And with there being no Drive Time Sports yesterday, it's typically the day that we talk college football. We got to get into that in just a bit as well. The rankings are out. Utah, number 17. They'll be traveling on the road to take on number 4, Washington. I have the Huskies on upset alert. I don't know if the Utes pull it off, but this is going to be a good game. This is not going to be a blowout. Washington right now, number 4, they would be in the postseason, at least projected. We don't have the college football rankings yet. They come out at the end of this next week, which is honestly perfect timing for the Utes. Because you're number 17 right now with 1 loss, you have an opportunity to rise to the top of your conference with a win against Washington. I think Utah has an opportunity to be a top 10 team when the college football playoff rankings come out next week, if they can get a win against Washington. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show as well. We're going to give you the local sports rundown, and then we'll be joined by Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dinos. That's coming up here in just a few moments. Again, a lot to get to on this Tuesday/Monday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we'll be back right after this. Reporting from the KOAL 107.3 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The fall high school sports season will continue to wrap up as it begins its final stretch this weekend with the 3A High School State Championship Tournament. The opening round will get underway Friday evening. Now the Emory Spartans will travel on the road. They'll meet the Juab Wasps in the opening round. Emory's contest is scheduled for this Friday to begin at 5 p.m. All games will take place this Friday, with round 2 taking place on November 3rd and 4th at Weber State University. The first round matchups again have Juab and Emory. Also Canyon View, the number 3 seed, will travel to meet Juan Diego. That contest is set for 4 p.m. Delta, the number 2 seed, will play host to Grantsville. That game is set for 4 p.m. And Morgan will welcome in Manti. That game is set for 5 p.m. You will be able to follow the live action of the Emory Spartan contest on KOAL. Live coverage will begin at 4:30 with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show, followed by kickoff again at 5. Thursday and Saturday represented the final 2 days of the regular season in the JUCO soccer season for USU Eastern, and the Lady Eagles ended with a 1-1 tie to Snow College and an 8-0 thromping of Colorado Northwestern on Saturday. Now the two games for USU Eastern's women's squad puts their overall record in conference play at 7-2-3 as they now prepare for the conference championship tournament, which will take place at Snow College, who finished with the division's best record. Because USU Eastern is a 2 seed, they get a bye past the opening round. They'll take on Salt Lake this Friday at 9 a.m. And then if they win, they'll advance to the region championship contest on Saturday. That is scheduled for 1 p.m. The Lady Eagles will look to get some revenge on Snow College, who finished unbeaten this year in league play at 7-0-5. Now we switch it up to the men's side of the soccer standings, where USU Eastern finished third at 5-4-1. The men are in a similar situation to the women. They will take on the number 2 seed. This will be on Friday, beginning at 11 a.m. That number 2 seed is Southern Nevada. The opening round contest will begin on Thursday. That'll be Snow College against Colorado Northwestern. Salt Lake claimed the conference championship. The USU Eastern men's squad, if they get a victory, will then move on to take on either Salt Lake, Snow, or Colorado Northwestern on Saturday at 3 p.m. for the league championship. The host school this year was decided by the women's squad championship team. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on the soccer season as it continues to wind down. Both USU Eastern squads are in need of some victories if they want to continue their season. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 107.3 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions. And only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I've been out for the last couple of days. Now we're trying to get back to the regular schedule. We got to talk high school football. We have the state championship tournament beginning this Friday. It's an important game for the Emory Spartans. They'll take on the Juab Wasps. Kickoff for that game is set for 5 p.m., as you heard during that sports news update. One team that will not be going to the postseason, the Carbon Dinos. Unfortunately, their season came to an end this past Friday. They fell to Richfield, and that dropped Carbon's record to 0-10 for the season. Joining us right now to talk about that and the entire year as a whole, we have head coach Josh Huntsman. Coach, as always, we appreciate the time. It's great to hear from you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate it a lot, Coach. It's the end of the 2016 season. Boy, it went by in a blur, that's for sure. But now we're recapping everything that went down. Before we do that, let's talk about your guys' final game. It was this past Friday on the road against the Richfield Wildcats. Very winnable game for you guys. It was a game in which you were in pretty much throughout. You pretty much controlled the clock the entire first half, but Richfield was able to score in the even quarters, and that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, you know, we held the ball actually a long time. Most of the time when they had the ball, it was just short exchanges, you know, big long plays that beat us. But we controlled the clock the way that we wanted to.
That right there, I know, was one of the points of emphasis in talking to you in the previous weeks. I mean, you guys want to control the clock. That's kind of Carbon High football, right?
It is. You know, it helps reduce, you know, other teams from scoring a lot of points. You know, it wasn't as successful this year as we wanted it to be, but, you know, that's kind of our mantra. We want to hold on to the ball as long as we can and make teams, you know, use as little time as possible to score against us.
You know, looking at the schedule, Coach, this seemed like a very winnable game for you guys. I thought the game against Union was very winnable, knowing what you guys can do when you play Carbon High football, when you play like you want to. Over the last 2 weeks, what were some of the things that you learned about this team? And I'm sure you viewed these as two very winnable games as well, right?
yeah, you know, these definitely were very winnable games. We needed to get ourselves established offensively and defensively. We went from the double wing look to actually going to an I formation look, and so, you know, we were hoping that we could establish our offense and get moving forward and you know, controlling the clock and playing good defense and putting ourselves in a position to win.
In this game against Richfield, at what point in time did you realize that you guys needed to change some things up and maybe you go to the pass a little bit more? I know Triton only threw 7 passes. He had an interception late in the contest, which kind of sealed the deal. I mean, at what point in time do you start changing things up, Coach?
You know, it was weird because we controlled that ball game for the most part. We just, you know, didn't get into the end zone. There was never a sense of urgency, you know, to have to score, and I think that hurt us. Our kids just, you know, for the most part, we just didn't get it done. We actually had the ball, you know, first and goal inside the 3, and we were kept out of the end zone on 4 straight downs. That's kind of telltale about where your team is and where your team needs to go. We need to focus a little bit more. We need to get stronger in the weight room, and we need to be able to push through. You know, the pass wasn't actually a viable option for us in that ballgame.
I think Carbon and Emery have both shared similar flaws this year. I mean, scoring inside the red zone, obviously it's a different beast because the field shortens up a little bit. I mean, defenses, it's easier for a defense, or it should be easier for a defense, knowing that, you know, you got 15 yards of field to work with rather than 75. The biggest challenge for you guys this year, when you go back and you look at tape, what was it in the red zone?
You know, just the right play call for the most part. You know, there was a couple of times where it was my fault. I probably should have checked out of something and gotten us into something different. The hard part about it is you think that you have guys that can grind it out and get you a yard and a half. But, you know, sometimes when you get down in the red zone, you need to spread them out, get as many guys out of that box as you can, and then try to run the ball inside and do those things. So, I mean, there's definitely some improvement that needs to be made on the play calling part. And, you know, there needs to be an improvement in physicality down in the red zone. But, you know, it's tough when you get down there. Everything's condensed. Everyone's in a tighter space.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. Coach, we take a look at the entire season. You guys end without a victory. You finish 0-10. You go back and look at some of these games. I mean, to me, the game where I think you guys play the best in it was against Emory. That was a game that you guys led in the third quarter. I believe that was the only contest that you led in the second half, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Yeah. You go back and you look at that game. You and I have talked about it. You said that one definitely stung. You win that game, and then you top Union, a team, again, that was very beatable. You guys are right there to get into the postseason. That tells me that this team is close. You guys are stepping in the right direction.
We are. You know, we lacked numbers and we lacked size this year, and that was our biggest downfall. You know, when you have 41 kids in the entire program, it makes it difficult. And, you know, our coaching staff was shorthanded this year as well. And so, you know, it's just one of those things where, as a coaching staff, we've got to do a better job preparing our kids for football games. We've got to do, you know, a better job as a whole in mental preparation, in physical preparation, and all of those things to be in these games to be able to win them.
I think the numbers has been the problem at Carbon High for quite some time. I think that's probably the most difficult challenge that you'll face as a head coach, right? I mean, getting these kids to come out and play football.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the hard things that you have to do. You have to be a great recruiter. You have to be able to, you know, relate well with the kids. And, you know, you look at where we're at right now. We have, I think we may have 1 or 2 kids that will be playing basketball in the fall, a couple kids that will wrestle. You know, not many that will play baseball in the spring. And so we don't have a lot of multi-sport athletes right now. There's been a lot of specialization in this district. And I don't know if that helps us, and I don't know if it hurts us, but I just know that you know, I'm going to play the kids that come out to play, but, you know, maybe some of the best athletes aren't actually out there. And so that makes it difficult because you have kids that, you know, great baseball player, but could be a great football player as well. Great basketball player, but could be a great football player, could be a great baseball player. But, you know, you're just not getting the kids out to the programs.
You talk about having to be a recruiter. I mean, recruiting at a high school is the most difficult thing possible because, you know, if you're a college recruiter or a JUCO recruiter, you have something to entice the kid to come play for you. High school, you don't have that luxury. So how do you go out and recruit a kid to come out and try football?
You know, my big thing is I'll go in and I'll watch them play basketball in the gym and I'll say, hey, I'll try playing football, you know, those type of things. I try to talk to as many kids in a given day as I can to, you know, to get them excited about something. And to be honest with you, I'm not recruiting them just for football. I'm recruiting them to say, you know, go play basketball, go be in the band, go do something, be active as you're here in high school. You know, that's what makes high school fun. That's what makes these kids, you know, it's kind of a drudgery every day when you have to come and you have to go through your 10 classes and learn those things, learn, you know, what you need to learn to function within society. So, you know, there's fun opportunities that you can get yourself involved with. And if you get yourself involved with something, you know, that's worth a whole lot right there.
Since the very first time I interviewed you, you've always put a big emphasis on kids playing more than one sport. I remember our first interview and you said, I don't just want a football player. I want a basketball, a baseball, a soccer player. I want kids that will play multiple sports. With that being said, how have the other coaches embraced that? And do you see them also, you know, encouraging their kids to go out and play football?
You know, I know Coach Cisneros is always encouraging, you know, with the new basketball coach coming in. You know, it's we need to sit down and visit and engage where, you know, we're at there. You know, we haven't had a whole lot of conversations. He works at a different building, and so there hasn't been much conversation there. But, you know, I know Coach Cisneros wants him to play. You know, even Coach Riggs, who coaches the tennis team, says, you know, one of my tennis players played football for you this year. He says, we played tennis on Saturday. He says, that's the best I've seen him move on the court. You know, just the footwork and agilities that we've done over the football season has helped him with his footwork in tennis. And so, you know, being a multi-sport athlete is key. You know, my wife and I talked the other day. She says, you know, you should probably put your jerseys up on the wall in your classroom so they can see, you know, my football jersey, my basketball jersey, the baseball jersey that I wore. You know, being a multi-sport athlete is key to a whole bunch of things. You know, you talk to these college coaches and they'll say, so what did he play in high school? I said, well, he played football. We're not really interested in a football player. We're interested in an athlete. Did he do anything else? And so, you know, there's a lot of coaches that are pushing for multi-sport athletes and pushing to get, you know, just athletic people in their program.
Now that the season's over, I mean, this is a true testament to your work ethic. Let the listeners know, I get a hold of Coach Huntsman and he says, I'm putting together the playbook for next season. There's no downtime for you. I mean, you're committed to turning this football program around.
We definitely are. You know, I can't say that I'm alone in this. My coaching staff is definitely going to help me with that. You know, we brought Coach Anselmo in this year and he's coached our offensive line. You know, he's sending me messages. When are we in the weight room? When are we doing this? When are we doing that? And so, you know, our coaching staff is committed to helping this program be successful. And so, you know, we're in the weight room every single day. He and I would be, and if kids want to show up and lift weights with us, we'd be more than happy to have them. And I'm not just talking football players. We'll take basketball players, baseball players, volleyball players, anyone who wants to come in and lift. We're more than willing to spend the time helping them become successful in their craft.
With that being said, you mentioned the coaching staff. I know that there will be some changes. Coach Jeff Jorgensen is officially retired. I've talked to Coach Jorg a few times throughout the season. Boy, he's dedicated his life to the game of football. He's been a mainstay at Carbon High School, not only on the football field, but also in the classroom, and now he's officially walking away.
He's been involved with athletics here off and on at Carbon High School since 1972. And, you know, that's a lifetime of road trips. It's a lifetime of watching, you know, whichever sport he was involved with. I mean, being the athletic director here, he went to a lot of different events. And, you know, it's tough to lose a coach like Coach Jorgensen. But, you know, we wish him well in retirement. We know that he wants to do a lot more golf and he wants to travel a little bit, do a few things. And so we're grateful for the service that he gave us here at Carbon High School. And, you know, we wish him well with his retirement. He's actually here in the building today, 7, so he's, you know, he's still around it, but he's trying to do less and less so that he can spend more time with his wife and more time with his grandkids.
Yeah, I talked to Coach Jorg a little while back, and he was talking to me about his good friend Rob Marinelli, who is the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. And I was talking about the coaching paths. You know, these two coached together once upon a time, and he says, you know, the bottom line is I loved high school sports. I fell in love with high school sports. There's a special aura around small-town high school sports, isn't there, Coach?
It definitely is. You know, it's one of those things that can actually shut an entire town down for an afternoon, where everyone can be at a game, where everyone can be involved. You know, I wouldn't want anything more than small town high school football right now. It's just awesome to see. It's nice when, you know, you come up to the stadium on a Thursday and you see the lawn chairs that are all lined up, people getting ready for the football game on a Friday night. There's blankets down in the bleachers. I mean, it's so much fun when you can put together a successful program and actually have positive things for a crowd to come out and cheer for.
Well, then with this, Coach, how did the younger groups, how did they continue to evolve, and how happy are you with their progression now that the season is over?
You know, we're definitely excited about the progression that we saw. You know, we, at times, you know, our young guys blocked our offense really, really well. At times they didn't, you know. But we've got a couple of really good linemen that will be coming up. You know, not a lot of size, but we do have a lot of talented kids, and so we're gonna try to use that to our advantage and see, you know, what we can do with this younger group. It's gonna be, you know, an interesting transition. The transition from JV football to varsity football, is the speed changes quite a bit, but we'll see if our kids are up for that challenge.
And I know you also have been coaching some sixth and seventh graders as well.
Yeah, we have, and that was a great experience for our sixth graders. We ended up winning two ball games with our sixth grade group, and, you know, those kids kind of have a foundation for what we're looking for once they get to high school, and they kind of know who we are as a coaching staff, and that would be good, you know, getting them in, running through the different programs, getting them into Helper and getting them into Mont Harmon and having them, you know, be successful within those programs and then just move right on up to us.
Coach, it's always so much fun to talk to you about high school football, to talk about the Dinos and throughout the entire season. I always appreciate you making time for us. Hopefully we can talk again real soon as we talk a little bit about the off season and what you guys have planned this summer.
Yeah, well, I definitely appreciate the phone calls. I definitely, you know, I'll talk football with anyone that wants to talk football. And so, you know, that's a good thing. And in fact, I'll talk about any sport if anyone wants to talk about it and how we can, you know, improve our school and improve our numbers, you know, participating in the activities. And so, you know, I think any time that you can get exposure to your high school program and exposure to, you know, high school sports, high school activities in general, I mean, that's definitely a good thing. It gets more people involved, and then you have parents that are asking questions, well, you know, why aren't you involved in debate, or why aren't you doing this? And hopefully we can create a good dialogue between, you know, the coaching staffs and the representatives here at the school and the community to get more kids involved.
Coach, thank you again for the time, and we'll talk again real soon.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
We're going to pause for just a second. We have some college football and also some Major League Baseball to get into. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. We're back after this.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Again tonight, the NBA kicks off. We got three games on tap. We get New York at Cleveland, San Antonio at Golden State, and the Jazz are on the road to take on the Portland Trail Blazers. And we'll talk about some of the other teams that I find very interesting going into the season. Some of the squads that I think you got to look out for. I think the Jazz are definitely one of those teams. I'm really high on the Jazz. I make regular appearances on a sports talk show in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I was on there last week, and I praised the Jazz, and they said, well, no wonder you're from Utah. Now, that's okay. Look, I'm honest when it comes to the Jazz. I'm brutally honest about this team. They go out, they grab George Hill. Fantastic, fantastic pickup. Utah gets George Hill. They give up nothing for him. You go get Joe Johnson. I don't know what to expect from Joe Johnson. I think you got a veteran off the bench. that every now and then is going to be able to give you a spark offensively. Boris Diaw, I really don't know what you're going to get out of Boris Diaw either. So I'm not really looking at Johnson and Diaw to be game changers. Because again, I don't know what you get out of them. I do know what you get out of George Hill. And when the Utah Jazz are healthy, and right now they're not, because Gordon Hayward's out for at least another couple of weeks, the Jazz have probably the best starting five defensively in the league. And that will get you something. Stylistically, they're big, intentionally slow. I like that term, intentionally slow. That's welcomed in a league where teams have to go small all the time. The quote-unquote small ball. They want to be the Golden State Warriors. Everybody wants to be the Golden State Warriors. You know, the idea of the market's dried up for Dwight Howard because of the way the league is moving. Jahlil Okafor is not a viable big man because of the way the league is moving. He's too skilled offensively. Teams want to go smaller. I don't buy it. I think if you put together a team that is big and imposing down low, and you have guys who are athletic outside, you can win old school basketball, and I think the Jazz have that. I'm most excited to watch Rodney Hood this year. I've said on the show since he was a rookie that I expected him to be the best player on this team by his third and fourth year in the league. It's getting to that point. Rodney Hood's got to take huge steps for the Jazz this year, and I think he does. So when you got Hayward and you have Hood and you have Favors and you have Gobert and you got George Hill again, I think that's one of the top starting fives defensively in the league. And then you have someone like Joe Johnson, maybe even Dante Exum, who I expect to see a lot of growth from. I really think this team is very flexible. I think Quinn Snyder is going to be able to do a lot of different things with his front court. And they have a lot of playoff experience, and that's something that really has just not been there with the Jazz in a long time. They entered the season with less hype than a lot of other squads, and I just don't understand why. Because if Quinn Snyder finds the right combo with his deep roster, they're going to be tough every night out. Every single night, you don't want to play this team. They don't have a star, and that also sets a lot of people off as well, but they have one of the deepest rosters in the league. And I guess the best comparison, maybe that 2004 Detroit Pistons championship squad, they didn't have a legitimate star. Rasheed Wallace wasn't a star. That's a team that played together. They were complete. They were deep. And I think you have to have depth in the NBA. One of the things I love the most about the Golden State Warriors is that they really, last season, they were rolling 10-11 deep. And that's why everybody fell in love with them. When your fourth best shooter on the team is Klay Thompson, this year, yeah, you're talking your third or fourth best shooter. You got a lot of depth on the team. Another guy that you have to keep an eye on for the Jazz this year, I think he has a breakout season, it's Trey Lyles. In fact, I think at one particular time this season, he will be the starting four for the Utah Jazz because he's a better fit. He's a better complement with Rudy Gobert. The one thing that scares me about the Jazz when you have Gobert and Favors out on the court, they lack that consistent offensive score from the low post. Trey Lyles is a guy that can score, and he can guard all types of fours. He's a stretch four. I think Boris Diaw can teach Trey Lyles an awful lot. Gobert and Favors will pound you on the glass, and they defend really well. They can control the pace. When you bring in Trey Lyles, here's a guy that can score and spread the floor. It makes things easier for people like Hayward and Hood. I'm excited about the Jazz. Deeper team. No one wants to play this team in the first round, I guarantee it. If this Jazz team goes healthy throughout the season, they compete for home court advantage, and I think the Jazz can actually win 50 games this season. They went 40-42 last year. I think they made the necessary improvements to increase that win total by 10 games. I'm saying 48-50 wins for the Jazz. That's where I have them this year. I think this team's much improved. Now, with that being said, who do they fall behind in the West? Obviously, Golden State. Let's just be honest. Nobody should beat Golden State this season. Nobody should touch the Warriors. If that actually happens, I don't know. It's to be seen. But you look at what this team is rolling out from a starting five standpoint. Nobody should touch this team. I wish I had something for you that was edgy. Something that made you shake your head or maybe something that made you question. No, I got nothing for you. Team to beat is Golden State, like it or not. That's the team to beat in every possible way. That is the team to beat because they were the best team in the NBA last season. I think they got tired. I think a suspension of Draymond Green in the NBA Finals really hurt this squad. And then you go out and grab the second best player in the league that's not on your team, and Kevin Durant. No one's going to touch this team. Golden State will probably win anywhere from 60 to 65 games this season. That would be my projection, because it is going to take time for this team to mesh. I don't think they easily win tonight. I think San Antonio could beat Golden State. I see this Golden State team floating along the lines of the Miami Heat a few years back. Typically, when you bring in another star, there's an adjustment period. I don't know that Golden State just lights the league on fire like they did last season, but I definitely don't think anybody is going to beat this team. Depth-wise, I'm not concerned either. Because, again, Kevin Durant stole the spotlight, rightfully so. That was the biggest fish in the pond, and they grabbed him. So your lineup tonight, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Zaza Pachulia, which was a great free agent signing, by the way. Coming off the bench, you have David West, under-the-radar signing. Andre Iguodala, starting to slow down a bit, still an excellent on-ball defender. Anderson Varejão, he gave Golden State some quality moments, really tapered off in the NBA Finals last season. But you also got JaVale McGee, must-see McGee. This is an opportunity for him to turn his NBA career around. This guy's athletic, very, very good. When his head's right, 7 foot, 270 pounds, he's quick, he's lengthy. I like the additions for Golden State, and you can't forget about Livingston coming off the bench as well. He was great for this team late in the season last year. So Golden State's obviously the team to beat, but I am curious about San Antonio, and I think this is number one and number two in the Western Conference. Not a bad way to start off the season, getting to see who we think will be the number one team and who we believe will be the number two team. San Antonio without Tim Duncan. That's been quiet, too, because Tim Duncan just floated away. He didn't have a farewell tour like Kobe. Just floated away. Starting lineup for the San Antonio Spurs, they improve at center with Pau Gasol. LaMarcus Aldridge at the 4, Kawhi Leonard at the 3. I believe Kawhi Leonard to be the best two-way player in the game. Best on-ball defender. Got to see a little bit more from him offensively. But two-way basketball, he's fantastic. Danny Green, Tony Parker. Stellar starting five. David Lee, great pickup by San Antonio. Kyle Anderson, he's going to back up Kawhi at the 3. They call him slow-mo for a reason because he can play the point. He's just not very fast, but he's lengthy. Manu Ginobili, Patty Mills, DeJounte Murray, also a rookie that they picked late in the first round. Just a very San Antonio Spursy pick. I think the Spurs are going to be very good. They're much improved. You replace Tim Duncan with Pau Gasol. At this stage in Gasol's career, he's still a legitimate double-double guy. One of the best seven-footers in the league. One of the most skilled seven-footers, I guess I should say, in the league. San Antonio and Golden State. Western Conference Championship preview tonight. After that, it's kind of a crapshoot. I'm not high on the Los Angeles Clippers. That would be one of the teams that I think Utah would have to look out for as far as home court advantage in the first round. I see the Clippers floating around that 4 or 5 spot. Maybe they get to 3. Maybe. But that's a team that Utah is going to have to contend with. I'm just not high on the Clippers. I think their window is closed. I'll tell you a team I am high on this year, and I think they do get to the postseason, which would be a huge turnaround because they only won 29 games last season. That's the Minnesota Timberwolves. I talked a lot about Minnesota in the offseason because that was a sexy job. That was the job that every veteran coach wanted that was available. Frank Vogel, he would have loved to have taken that Minnesota job. Who wouldn't? Now, fortunately for Minnesota, they made the right choice by bringing in Tom Thibodeau. But you look at the key additions here. Jordan Hill, Cole Aldrich, Brandon Rush, Torrey Murray, Rajuel Butler. They draft Chris Dunn. You only lose Tayshaun Prince and Greg Smith. Biggest move was obviously drafting Chris Dunn. You got Karl Anthony Towns back. This is a guy that put up Shaq-type rookie numbers. Andrew Wiggins, who is that guy, he is the wingman that you want on your team. Ricky Rubio should be back. He's that facilitator. Minnesota's moving in the right direction. I think they can contend for a playoff spot. I think it boils down to about three teams for that final playoff spot. Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Minnesota. There's your battle for the 8th spot. The NBA season's back. A lot of fun tonight. Three great games. New York at Cleveland, 5:30 tip-off. In between that, at 8, we get the Jazz on the road to take on Portland right here on KOAL. And then the nightcap, San Antonio at Golden State. Hopefully you'll enjoy these games tonight. I'm looking forward to it. We've got to pause for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll come back, put the final touches on this Tuesday edition right after this.
This is Dante X, and remember to follow the Utah Jazz all season long on KOAL AM 750.